I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Kaylin.
And you are tuning into Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from the very top of Burnaby Mountain.
We're stoked to be your host for the next hour, exploring local and global events using sociological perspectives. Thanks for tuning in.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, where we broadcast on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples from Simon Fraser University. I hope everyone is having a lovely evening, morning, midday, wherever you are, and that you're having a good start to the week, which leads me on to my favorite start of every sociologic show, what we're joyous for this week. And I don't have to do it by myself, because for once I'm joined by a lovely guest.
Hello.
This is
Corey,
or DJ Coco.
It's my secret name. It's my secret name, guys.
Secret name, yeah. Where you actually usually join me for these, but yeah, then you abandon ship after that.
Oh yeah, usually I'm out of here. I need to have dinner. Too hungry.
Yeah, but this time no, you're stuck here for the whole hour, because we're doing a very super special 2-hour radio collab of slumber logic.
Slumber logic,
logical party.
I kind of like that.
Logical party sounds like this really weird party to go to.
Bunch of philosophy majors in a room, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, we're doing a little 2-hour collab. So hopefully you were tuned in from 6 to 7 for our little feature. Well, my little feature on Corey's show.
Yes.
Where, I mean, do you want to talk about the topic? It's your show.
You missed out if you didn't hear. But we talked about kind of the gender differences in pain. We talked about some gender bias rooted in our medical system as a whole. Quoted a couple articles, but you can tune in. I believe later on I'll post it whenever I can on Slumber Party, so you can check that out.
Yeah, and it was a very fun discussion. Mm-hmm. And
very passionate
very much about that gender inequity, which we're kind of bringing into the topic that I kind of picked for you to feature on Sociologic with. Mm-hmm. Which is to do with a topic that I've been very interested in, and I'm going to be covering on Intravenous as well in a couple weeks, because it's research that I want to do my dissertation on next year. Ooh. So it's looking at jury versus judge-only trials, particularly with rape and sexual assault trials. So I'm going to put an trigger warning there. I feel like I put a trigger warning on nearly every Sociologic episode. But it's some pretty hard-hitting stuff, because we're going to talk about the Hockey Canada sexual assault trial story that's in the news at the moment. So if any of that would be upsetting or triggering to you, please tune out and tune back in at 8 p.m. for Bitcoover with our music coordinator Connor, because I don't want to harm anyone's mental psyche with my radio. That's not my goal. So speaking of
mental psyche, we got to do some grateful comments.
What are we grateful for this week? I don't know if you want to start.
Or you go right ahead.
I'll start. Okay. What am I grateful for this week? So I'm super grateful and happy that it's June, because it's a kind of a sad thing as well, but it's my last full month here in BC, in Vancouver, before I go home in July. So I'm excited to go home, but I'm also going to miss it.
I'm so sad.
Yeah, I'm going to miss CJSF, and I'm going to miss everyone here. And it's a nice thing as well, because it's like I've obviously missed everyone at home. So it's like I'm like sad, but also super excited. So I'm joyous that we're in June. Also that I ticked off the final thing off my bucket list this weekend, which was to do the grouse grind.
Ooh.
And I ticked that off yesterday. And that made me very joyous, because I was like, wow, I completed my whole bucket list of things to do in Vancouver and BC.
That was the very last one?
That was the very last one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This girl is more has been to more BC attractions than me, and I'm born and raised here. And
she's born and raised British Columbian.
She's done everything. She mentions going here and here, and I'm like, I've never been here, so.
I had a time constraint. I had to make the most, whereas you've been here your whole life, so you're like, I've got time.
Yeah.
Until you don't.
Until I don't.
Until you don't. Until you decide to move somewhere else.
Maybe I'll go to England.
Yeah, and then you'll be doing, I'll be like, you're more English than I am. Which I wouldn't take that as a qualm.
No.
either. But what are you joyous for this past week?
Okay. This past week, honestly, I've been thinking about this past day, more like the past 2 hours. I've been specifically grateful for. Very, very random. But I have a intense love for protein bars. And so I had the joy of eating a chocolate protein bar today. And for some reason, I'm a type of person who really likes chewy things and chewy foods. So I told you this was going to be a really dumb, grateful comment, but...
No, I love it.
I was so happy to eat this protein bar today. It tastes so good. I don't know what chemicals that they put in these things, and I normally don't have them because it has a lot of artificial sugars and not too good for you, but I joyously ate that today, and I was very happy.
I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad for you. That sounds amazing.
Thank you.
That's a
highlight of my entire week.
That's a great highlight of your week.
I've done so many other things. I don't care. This is the highlight.
Exactly. And it's chocolate related. That makes it even better.
Oh, so good.
So good. So before we get into the lovely topic of, lovely is not maybe the right word to describe sexual assault trials, but judge versus jury verdicts and all things jury decision making. Particularly relating to the Canadian hockey story at the moment, I would love to play a song by one of my favorite people that I've met over here called Michaela May, in case you couldn't guess. She released a song 2 days ago on the 1st of June that she actually debuted a few weeks ago on Sociologic back in like start of May.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now... officially released it, and I have to say it has become my favorite song of hers. So I would really recommend checking her out. All of her socials and streaming platforms are just Michaela May. But this is her song, You Made Me Hate My Favorite Songs, and I think it is one of the most relatable songs on the planet when you listen to the lyrics. So I hope everyone enjoys it as much as I do.
You made me hate.
And welcome back to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University.
Just to remind you, you can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the App Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/cjsfradio, and you can learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. And if you have any requests at all, you want to just chat to us, you can text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573, and we'll read all of them.
Hell
yeah.
We'll cherish them in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And welcome to the very special episode of Sociologic, if you've just tuned in, where I'm joined by the Slumber Party, one of Slumber Party's hosts, DJ Coco, also known as Corey.
I'm Corey.
As Corey. Revealing her real name.
My real name. Actually, not my full real name. This is my nickname that you'll get today.
Today. Wait, just today. In the future, we'll progress. Soon have the full name.
Oh,
social security, personal phone number, and everything.
Address, you got it all.
But today's topic, we are talking about judge versus jury trials in sexual assault cases, specifically to do with the Canadian hockey trial that is currently in the news quite a bit. And we're going to let Corey kind of explain the story a bit more in detail, as I know rough things of what's happened, but I don't know it, I think, as in-depth as you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you set the scene.
Yes. So as the Canadian of the station here today, I have been following a little bit about this story. It's been all over CBC, the Globe and Mail. So my family gets the Globe and Mail delivered to our house on Saturday mornings. And I've been reading the story and following up a little bit. So I've decided to kind of give my own personal account of what is going on. So essentially, what's happening is there is a sexual assault trial that is being conducted against five former World Junior Hockey Canada players. And five of these players are charged with sexually assaulting a 20-year-old girl and 20-year-old woman. And she goes by the initials EM due to a publication ban. And this happened actually in 2018. So this is kind of a backlog, and they're doing the trial now as usual, since the justice system is usually
a little behind.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Plus a pandemic in the middle of it doesn't help either.
No, that does not help anyone's case. So what happened is there was a Hockey Canada gala in London, Ontario. And so this team with these players were celebrating their gold medal win. And the players are named Dylan Dube, Alex Formenton, Carter Hart, Cal Foote, and Michael McLeod. And so story itself is we start off at the gala. Boys are partying. Everyone's having a great time at the gala. And so as young boys, young adolescents, pretty much adolescents to adult, young adults do, is that after the gala, they go over to their local bar and they're still partying, still drinking. And Carter Hart, so Mr. Hart, and this girl that he picked up at the bar, having some drinks, and then they headed back to his room in the hotel. And they had consensual sex in the hotel room. And so they were both drunk at this point. And at this point, Hart starts inviting his hockey teammates into his room for quote-unquote food. The details are a little blurry for everyone on if it was food, if someone knew about the girl. But the girl herself was consenting to a threesome with two of his hockey mates. And I don't actually believe she knew that they were hockey players. She just knew that he had other friends. And so Mr. Hart, he texts his big group chat and some players, and more than one person show up. So it's not a threesome at this point. There is up to 11 men in the room, just kind of ogling and standing there. So the girl was on the bed. She was naked, and she was wanting to have sex with the other guys, and she was asking. And so the guys said that they were, quote unquote, confused and uncomfortable about this forwardness of the girl, but they were egging each other on to get her to stay for sexual favors, and they didn't really try to make her leave or say like, oh, we should get out of here, but they just kept staying there. And so the girl, since she offered and no one wanted to do it, she tried to leave, but she was told to stay. So this is kind of saying like, how are they really uncomfortable then if they're still standing there, inviting other teammates and talking about it in group chats? And it just seems as though it's objectifying her as entertainment to others. And so there were consent videos taken, which she states in the trial she does not remember. There were two consent videos, but as we know, consent has to be ongoing and it can be taken back. And so there was another person, Mr. McLeod, where the girl asked for sex from him. He did not agree, but wanted oral sex instead. And there were a couple of actions that are also being heavily discussed that she believes she did not consent to. So it gets a little graphic. There are mentions of some of Mr. McLeod doing the naked splits on top of the woman, and things like slapping her buttocks unconsented. And so that's kind of the story, which is very complex, and I can see how there's not really a one side that's a clear winner, like all cases, but it just seems to be a very complex story, and it is very relevant in the media right now because of particularly the jury being dismissed twice for this case, and now this case is to only be seen by a judge. So the second time it was dismissed was the most recent time, and it was because a juror sent a collective note from all the jurors to the judge during the trial. And the whole jury believes that the lawyers of one of the hockey players, Dan Brown and Hillary Dudding, were laughing, whispering, or mocking the jury. So this could indicate that there may be bias in the outcome of the trial, so they switched it to a judge-only trial going on for now. And so there are some thoughts and concerns about going to a judge-only trial, which I find are needed to be addressed, and Rebecca's done a lot of research on as well that we'd like to chat about.
I think there's so many things about this is interesting, because typically sexual assault cases and rape cases are always complex. It's never like clear cut. There's never usually like what is considered, I guess, typical evidence. Mm-hmm. As such, like, this is, you're doing a lot of, it's kind of he said she said type of situation. But like you said, there's some inconsistencies in the stories, but also it's the fact that it's this topic of consent where there's so many misconceptions on the definition of consent, what a consent entails, the fact that consent can be taken back, the fact consent needs to be ongoing. And one thing, if she doesn't remember a consent video being taken, she was not in a state of mind to be giving consent.
Exactly.
From like the fact that they have openly admitted on all parties being drunk, none of the parties could actually then give consent, because you're not in your right mind.
Exactly. And so, yeah, there are so many inconsistencies. Like Mr. Hart saying that he clearly remembers EM's actions, but not for the guys themselves. So what is this alcohol only giving him memory in certain areas?
Yeah. And it's also the fact that if these guys are so confused and uncomfortable, but they're egging each other on, one, to be staying for sexual favors, but also there is talk of one of them not wanting sex, but wanting sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be that confused and uncomfortable, in my opinion, if you are asking for something else, even if it's not necessarily sexual intercourse. You're asking for something. And if they're doing things that she said was unconsented, then it's interesting. And bringing more than, like, up to 11 people in a room, like, she may have consented to a threesome, but then that's not... 3 and 11 are very, very different numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And I can see how this could be a very... Like, if the jury wasn't dismissed, it would be a very interesting thing, because you are looking at the fact she is admitting she did consent at times. Mm-hmm. So you are looking at, like... I would talk later about this, but, like, rape myths and this bias around these cases and stereotypes, that a lot of jurors are... A lot of research is being done into what jurors take into a trial, like, subconsciously.
Exactly.
And enact, but it's complex. And I also... The thing is, I don't know if judge-only trial is the correct... answer to it, but you can understand why. But I do think, because this is the second time it's been dismissed, and I think the first time was something similar to do with the defense lawyers,
mm-hmm.
That were defending either one of the hockey players or multiple of the hockey players, I think it's strategic to have got it not to be a jury verdict.
It could have been,
because if it's the second dismissal for similar or if not the same reasoning, to me, that's not coincidence. That's more strategic, in that do the defense lawyers potentially think they don't have a good case for a jury?
And they,
but they have a better case if it was a judge.
Ew,
if you're looking like impartial evidence based, because of how much research is at the moment going into jurors not being the best at being impartial, or bias being brought into it, not being educated in, like, legal terminology and not knowing the definition of rape and sexual assault and what goes into it and things like that. I wonder if the defense thought, we have better luck on a judge-only verdict.
That's a good point to bring up.
It would be interesting. Like, obviously, we're never going to find out if it was strategic or not.
No.
But it seems strategic when it's the second time.
Exactly. Yeah, especially with those consent videos, because sure, there is tangible proof that there is consent that a judge maybe will value more in ruling for that. But I mean, this is very nuanced, and especially how consent is ongoing. And I feel like jury would be more empathetic of the situation, which a judge would be more kind of cutthroat in a way, which, yeah, this has indications that I feel like the defense is kind of leaning towards winning if we go to judge.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting, because it is obviously very complex with the fact that she is admitting to consenting. So you have this thing of, like, she's not saying it didn't happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
She's not saying that they raped her or things. She's saying she did have consensual sex. But it's the fact that she took the consent back, which makes it complex, because so many people do not fully understand the concept of consent and where that consent is an ongoing thing, and that it can be taken back no matter how far in you are to, like, a situation. And I find it interesting, because I didn't know. So with this topic being about judge only versus jury, I'm obviously from England, and there is not a lot on judge only trials as a, like, a test run of it or anything. There was a scheme that was put up in 2023 for Scotland. So for the United Kingdom, we don't all have the same criminal justice system. Scotland have their own, and then it's England and Wales, and then Northern Ireland has their own as well. So for England and Wales, it's completely different to Scotland. But Scotland, I find, have usually been a bit more progressive, a bit quicker, just in terms of, like, their policies and things like that. And then England will probably potentially follow a couple years later, or not follow. But basically, in 2023, the Scottish government implemented a scheme to start trialing judge-only trials for rape and sexual assault cases. But the proposal has since been scrapped.
Ooh.
Before it even got started, because it was so heavily criticized by lawyers and judges, who said it could actually breach human rights laws. And then there was issues of diversity that were raised, because if you look at the statistics, many Scottish judges are, and this was the quote, late middle-aged male from a white Scottish ethnic background and educated to a university level. So that was brought up that it's not meeting the requirements of a fair trial.
Right.
Which is what, I don't know the statistic on the demographic of judges in Canada, but that's one thing where I would have said, judge-only trials, you do risk a diversity factor that you get with juries. Because juries are randomly selected, because there's a jury of 12 people, you are more likely to get a more diverse and then potentially impartial opinion, because you're not just having, say, like an all-white jury or an all-female jury.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with one person, you don't have any diversity.
Yeah.
Because you just have that singular person deciding. I also think as well, for the judge, that's a lot of pressure on the judge.
Oh, yep. It's all leaning on you.
Mm-hmm.
And all your biases and perspectives on life, it's all brought up into that one decision. And that, I feel like for court, it's necessary to have multiple people make a decision.
Mm.
Even though with high like 8+ years of education, I don't think that can outweigh a collective agreement over a decision.
Yeah, because with the juries, you get to have that discussion, you get to have that deliberation, you get to hear from an intersectional perspective of multiple people from different backgrounds, different experiences, even though you're told not to bring any of your personal experiences or anything into being a juror. You do, like, I think it's very difficult for people not to. And so I do wonder, like, even though judges, they are obviously educated in legal jargon, complex legal instructions, they're educated in being impartial, they're the impartial body of a trial. They just control the sentencing, like in England and Wales, they're just the decider of the sentencing and like making sure the trial runs smoothly and is impartial and fair for both sides, especially following that it's you're innocent until proven guilty. I still wonder, like, whether that's the how impartial and, like, I don't know, less prejudiced can you be as a judge when you, say, for example, are a white middle-aged male judge.
Oh.
You are the stereotype of, like, the oppressor, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know of a better way of wording it.
Yeah, because even with all the education that judges have, they still have biases like any other human.
Yeah, because I've had this talk so many times of, can you ever be unbiased? Can you ever actually be without influence?
No.
And it's very, like, you could be as educated as possible in removing yourself outside and looking at it from an objective standpoint, but your objective standpoint is individualized to what you deem objective, which is influenced by society and you being socialized.
Exactly.
So, in my opinion, I don't think you can really ever not have a bias. It just depends how much you want to weigh up, I guess, which bias will have more of a detrimental impact, a judge's bias or a jury's bias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the bias may not necessarily be bad, but we just almost be aware of this and seeing, can they counteract each other? If everyone comes in with bias, do we have no bias then?
Mm. Exactly, yeah. And the thing with, like, juries, that a lot of research that's being done into it, particularly, I guess it's connected but not maybe super relevant to the Canadian hockey case, is rape myths, which is a phenomenon that first got defined in 1980 by a guy called Bert.
Bert.
That's the surname. I don't know the first name, but the surname is Bert. And he defined it as prejudicial, stereotyped or false beliefs about rape victims and rapists. So typically they place the blame on the victim, they minimize the victim's experiences, exonerate perpetrators and insinuate that there is a typical victim. Now, that was like the overarching term that was being used in research. And then recently, since like last year,